Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, no matter where you are or when you're listening to this call. This is Terry Brown introducing Winfrey on the Winfrey Monday Night BBS call. This is an internet radio call, as the people know who have tuned in to BBS radio on the internet. The people that are on the conference line, Wynn is right now, he's out there rounding up the people, and he will be calling in and putting those people in touch with the call also in momentarily. I've been working with Wynn for about 30 years or more now. I met him a long, long time ago, and he is really persistent, and he is really diligent and very, very talented and creative. So most of you, or some of you anyway, have heard how this story goes and how what happened to him, that he started to be able to put all of this together. He has a book out now, which is channeled information, where he was asking questions concerning the creation of the universe, and the answers were coming through and all taped and typed up. He's going to be giving that book away for free. Maybe he'll tell you about it tonight, and you will learn how you could get a copy and download it. So, in the meantime, we're waiting for Wynn to come on, and I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I have a degree in physics. Wynn also studied physics. He studied physics at Berkeley, and I studied physics at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon. I was very, very interested in the why of things, the why of life, and how things got started.
Followed by pound.
Sounds like Wynn is on the call and bringing the people in. Wynn, are you on the line? Anyway, I was attending college, and
this conference
as
is being
I studied
recorded.
The courses, I was finding a lot of descriptions about how things work, but I wasn't finding the why behind them. And so I became more metaphysical, and I got a master's degree in library science. I set up the library for Tektronix, which is a large electronics company. At the time, they were the largest exporter of oscilloscopes in the world, and I started their library, took it from just a very small library, just a few books on the shelf that the engineers used, and took it to a large library in the research center as they grew. But then I went more into philosophical things later. I became a legal secretary in Los Angeles, where I was for quite a lot of years working for attorneys. Sounds like Wynn's on now. Wynn, are you here?
You have to be very philosophical to be a legal attorney.
No, you don't. But it taught me a little bit better how to think.
You have to be patient.
Well, no, I will now turn this over to Winfrey.
Well, this is Monday, June 27th, and thank you, Terry, for holding the space. I feel like I'm a bus driver, and I just picked up all these people, and then I'm bringing them into the call. Every time you hear a ding, somebody's coming on the line. Anybody want to say hello that hasn't said hello yet?
Hi, Zoe, Sacramento.
Hi, Zoe. And who else?
Hi, Wynn.
Aloha, this is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Hello, Gina.
Hello, Ann.
And Susan from Mesa, Arizona.
Susan? And who else?
Susan from Mesa.
Susan, we got you. There's not
Diane
two Susan.
Diane in Minnesota.
Who is that in Minnesota?
Diane.
Diane. And whose dog is that barking? What's his name?
What's that?
What's his name? He obviously, I think he wants to participate.
My name?
And who is that? I'd like to say your name and your city.
This is Tom from Rockford, Maryland.
Hi, Tom. Good to have you. How's the weather in Rockland?
It's Rockville. It's okay. It's been kind of humid, but it hasn't rained yet.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Why don't you share something about yourself that you'd like everyone to know about you, as long as it's not obscene. Go ahead.
I know the giggler from way back.
You what?
I know the Massachusetts giggler from way back.
Oh, you do? Did she invite you into this?
Yes.
Oh, far out. The Massachusetts giggler. We have a person that can't stand to say hello because she giggles too much. So when we ever get a ding, we think it's her when they don't say anything. We'll say hello, but she's a really great person. She holds a great energy, and she has a lot of spiritual contacts. And so anyone else want to say hello?
Hello. Hi, it's Nancy from Orlando.
Hi, Nancy. Wait a second. Nancy Jones?
Yes, that's correct.
Tina Campbell said I was good at remembering people's names.
Yes. Well, I've sent you enough emails you should remember by now.
Well, sometimes it's funny because people on voice are quite a bit different than emails. It's a whole different vibratory connection that sometimes I don't integrate the two. Who else is on the line?
Lisa from San Francisco.
Lisa?
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
How's your health?
It's up and down, but some things are up that weren't up before.
That's wonderful. let's keep the energy going. Is Larry on the line?
Larry is on the line from Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my God. Did you see the notice that I sent out tonight, Larry?
No, I didn't.
Said, will my sister Joanne say hello to everybody tonight? The great mystery.
Wait and see, I guess,
We'll wait and see. That's Joanne's husband, Larry. And Lisa is one of those people on the line that has lupus, and I don't know if her lupus has gone away, but she was quite inspired by Joanne's story. So,
definitely.
Hi, this is Steve in Flagstaff.
Steve, is that Steve that I know?
Well, we've met. Yeah, we've met a few times up here. I go to Unity Church.
Hey.
And I have an... Might be a book here. I've also got lupus. I was just recently diagnosed.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, well, I hope we all have miracles tonight, okay?
Yeah.
I hope so. And anyone else want to say hello?
Hi, Wayne. This is Mac Boogaloo, Des Moines, Iowa.
Hello, Mac. Good to have you.
How you doing?
All right.
Good to talk.
Who else is on there? Anyone else want to crawl out? I know there's some people that didn't say hello, but are shy. Okay. Is Daphne on the line? Hello, Daphne. Okay. Well, we're going to mute everyone on the conference call. And I thank you all for showing up and helping to hold the space for this call. And just a moment. And we're going to say hello to everyone that's listening on BBS.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
All right. Larry, why don't you push star six? That way we can hear you. And say hello after you do it. I don't hear you yet. Hello, Larry. Uh-oh.
Could it be blocked? Can you hear me now?
I hear you now. Good. We got it.
Okay.
All right. So anyone new listening in, we've been doing this call now for probably 2 or 3 years. And a number of people have checked in regularly, and there's kind of a community on the line of people that are getting to know each other vibrationally on the call. And one of the unique things about the call is that we have an interaction with a source. I say a source of words, a source of a point of reference that is in other dimensions, and they identify themselves as the Elohim group and the Ra group, and they can look at things down here with two things. One is awareness of energetic interactions that we are not, usually most humans are not cognizant of these interactions. For example, there is this theory that we've had many lifetimes that have culminated into this lifetime. And if you're a human, you most likely have no memory of your past lifetimes. And you have amnesia. But from their viewpoint, they can see, they say they can see, let me not draw conclusions, I've had enough evidence where it seems true, but they say they can see the whole track from where you started to where you are. Now, I don't know if they don't necessarily tune into that whole track, but they see the relevant things that are impacting your life now that have been started at some other time in the past, in the processes that some people call reincarnation and karma. And what is karma? Karma is the total track that you carry forward into this life, your total potentials, your total hang-ups, your total relationships with other people that have a pre-set way of being because you knew those people in another lifetime. And when you meet them again now, you move, it's easy to move into the rapport that you had in the past. And that can be a good rapport or a bad rapport, but nonetheless, it's not something that was generated now. Now, the potential for all of us is to operate in the now and position ourselves in a masterful way that we can be above the karma. And if you want to be above the karma, there's a process of letting go, sometimes called detachment. And so most people would say they want to be above the karma, but they don't want to let go. They're holding on. Now, what does holding on mean? Well, for some people, it means holding on to someone you care about who's self-destructive. And you get all frazzled inside because you're trying to take responsibility for their self-destructiveness. And then what normally happens is you lose your ability to help them because you've jumped into the soup with them. In a number of our conversations with our sources, it's been pretty clear that anxiety, fear, worry don't help anybody. Holding your energy above all of that so that the person can reach towards you helps. But most often, it's hard to do that. You can look at that aspect of yourself because you're attached. And oftentimes, attachment comes because of things we don't know in past lives. For example, sometimes we have a child who could have been someone that helped us greatly, and they are suffering in this life. And on the unconscious level, you remember how much they helped, and you want to alleviate their suffering, but you don't know how. So you get into a frazzled state and usually start suffering yourself. Or we have someone that hurt us in a past life. Like years ago, I had a reading from someone who told me that my father, in this lifetime, had killed me, poisoned me in another lifetime. And some of you heard the story, so I'm not going to tell the whole story, but there was enough meat to the story that I was sure it was true. I was sure it was true. And they told me that I chose this particular father because he owed me a life, because he killed me in another lifetime. Now, what happened, I'll just give you an idea so you can understand how karma works. What happened was, when I was brought up, when I came into his family, he wasn't happy to see me. And this was all going on an unconscious level. So it's like I was never good enough. And there was an episode when I was probably 14 years old where we were having a fight about something, and he was pushing food into my mouth to make me eat it because I didn't want to eat it. And then I remember going upstairs and throwing up. And when I heard the story, it seemed like, oh, my God, this guy poisoned me, and now he's pushing food into my mouth. And it made sense. And when I became aware of the energetic relationship with my father, I then had to go into the process of forgiving him for killing me. And it took me a long time. And when I was young, when I was younger, I was being brought up, I remember I was really closed up, and my shoulders were high, my shoulders were tense. And I didn't know why. In fact, it just seemed like that's who I was. I didn't know what was causing it. Of course, I was too young to be analyze these things. But when I heard the story of how he had killed me in another lifetime, I suddenly realized that I was all, how would I say it, tight, protecting myself, armoring myself, because some part of me knew he did that. Well, you know, this is something we all go through. And when you start to connect with the higher energies, they're all above that. And when things are above that, then the lower things start to clear. Now, you don't really have to know all the details of your past lives, and but you do have to be aware that all those things that keep you from being in joy, being fulfilled, usually they're not you. They're things you've taken on as a result of being in this realm for a long time, and they can be cleared. Now, there's a lot of ways of clearing stuff. Some people go to therapy. Some people go to healers. Some people go to shamanic this, and there's all kinds of techniques for clearing these things, and some work. And some make, in a majority of cases, I found that things work for a short period. But because the energy is still in your own track, you pull it back in. And so you get a little relief and you pull it back in. And to truly clear it on some level, you've got to do it yourself. But what self is doing it? We're talking to sources that are us. They're not these big, giant, how would I say it? They're a higher aspect of us. And so they can always be with you because they are you. But to hear that said verbally, and to move into the experience of it is another story. To move into the experience, you have to let go. Now, a lot of you are letting go on this line, and you feel their energies. Some of you have learned to let go enough so that you feel their energies when you're off the line. And, you know, even all the vocabulary here is even screwed up, because I say feel their energies. It's, I could say feel your energies at a higher aspect of your energy. But this is such a high aspect that we sometimes can only hold it for a very short while. But when you can connect with these energies, there's a lot of benefit. And one of them is the healing of your track, the fixing of your track. And it's like you fixing it, but you're fixing it from a higher level. Some people, when they first come into these calls, and even I, when I first started these communications with them, I said, how is this going to work? If they are who they say they are, what's going to happen? It's like, how do you interact with them? How do you share this with other people? How do you make it important? And so there was a long period of assimilation. But one of the first things that happened was the episode with my sister, where her lupus went away. And I am not going to let her talk too long unless she wants to. Larry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is Joanne too shy to say anything?
Hello.
Give her the phone. Joanne? I can hear you. I hear you.
Hi, I want to say hello to everyone. I wish you all well. I know it's hard to believe in miracles until it happens to you. But now I know that you exist. With me, it was like thinking of the old saying, the proof is in the pudding. Also, I find
we can't hear her here.
Joanne, get a little closer to the mic because we're having a hard time hearing you. Get a little closer to the microphone.
Okay, I'll say hello again.
Now I hear you better. Talk as loud as you can because you're not coming through too loud.
Can you hear me? I'm a little bit weak. Wait.
That's much better. That's much better. Yes.
I just wanted to say hello to all, and I wanted to wish everyone well. And I know I wanted to just tell you that it's hard to believe in miracles until it happens to you. But now I do know that they do exist. With me, what I said before, it's like the proof is in the pudding. Also, I think that your messages were all so beautiful. And your jokes and caring help me a lot. The jokes cheer me up, and that's very healing. And I appreciate you all, and God bless you all.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Larry?
I hear you.
Wynn, are you on the line?
Oh, wait, here I am.
No.
Here I am. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I hear you, yeah. You know, I caught a case of it's called mutitis from Terry.
Yeah, I can hear you better.
But I healed it myself by pushing the unmute button. Does Joanne hear me now? Can she? Am I on a speakerphone? Yeah. You know, one of the things that, and I've said this before, is that when Larry called me and told me that the operation was successful and that her lupus went away, not her lupus, her cancer went away, she was in a rehabilitation home, and I really was not convinced that there was a miracle in that. I thought it was coincidence. They said they would help, and the operation was successful. But I took it upon myself to, well, I called it the Cheer Up Committee, and I would call her every day. And I would tell her a joke, and I told her that she had to tell the joke to the nurse or the nurses on duty. And so she did. And what happened was she became a really popular patient. If she will come on, if she wants to say anything about that, do you remember the Cheer Up Committee, Joanne?
I remember.
What happened in the hospital when you started telling the jokes to the nurses?
Never experienced anything like it. They were very spiritual with me, and
We can't hear her.
Talk louder, Joanne. Terry says we can't hear you.
Once I started to tell them, they were like angels, the nurses. They just helped me so much, and they wanted me to stay there. They were very spiritual with me. Every day, we just, you know, either they prayed with me or we laughed. I think you talked to some of my nurses there, and it was just like a really, instead of like feeling like I was dying from cancer, I felt really well. I felt better than I ever felt in my life. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, and then it everything got better with it. And I just felt like I went through all this, and I used to tell them that if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I never would have met, I got very close with them, and I never would have met them, and they were such a good part of my life. So it was, even though it was such a terrible thing, I know it's a terrible thing, but it just didn't seem so terrible at the time.
You know, all this time we were doing the Cheer Up Committee, I never told Joanne that I had asked a question. She didn't even, I don't even think she knew that this was happening for me. I mean, I thought she would think I was a nutcase. Of course, she's known me for many years, and she probably already thinks I'm a nutcase. But it wasn't until I got a phone call from Larry, and he said something really strange happened. And he said, they took her for tests to see if the cancer had come back. And the nurse said, why don't you share what the nurse said, Larry? We can't hear you. Get closer.
Her lupus test came out negative. You know, she didn't have lupus anymore. That very rarely happens. So that's very, very unusual, you know. And ever since then, it's been okay, you know.
And Joanne is still not well. She still has things wrong with her. And maybe as part of this call, we'll see.
She still has things wrong with her, but I think when you call in the light and everything, it does seem to help. I definitely see there's improvement, you know. So I'm just happy that you're able to do that, and we're able to have the positive energy to get her better, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when Larry told me her lupus went away and that doesn't happen, or it's... I thought, did the nurse say it rarely happens or it never happens?
They said it never happens. They said lupus sometimes goes into remission.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's people on the line that have lupus, but she had she had SLE lupus, systemic lupus erythematosus. And
yeah.
Her tests always came out it was in the 300s. I don't remember what it was. It was 320 or 360. So she definitely tested positive for lupus, and she had all the other symptoms that were part of it, the malar rash, everything that was involved. And ever since then, and that was 2002, she's been in if it's remission, it's a very unusual, because you've never gone to remission for 8 years, you know, 9 years.
Well, it's not just remission, it was disappeared from the test. Remission still shows up in the test.
It disappeared, so you know, it came out at zero, it was negative for her ANA testing.
Right. So...
Let's forget about the testing. Let's forget about some of the other things. The thing is, she doesn't have the pain and the aching that you have with lupus. She would always feel like she had like 104 degrees temperature, always a fluish feeling, always weak, having trouble getting around. And she's alert. She's a completely different person because of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when I found out that her lupus went away, I went into shock because I said, oh, my God, this is real. There was some kind of intervention. And I then did a channeling. I think I did the channeling with Terry a couple of weeks later. And
I think when you did the channeling, I think they came back and they said that it was filtered. And the interesting thing is also her cancer that she had was a sarcoma cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It travels through the blood. And at the time, the doctor, when she came out of surgery, the doctor said she had a 50-50 chance of surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been cancer-free for, you know, I guess this is going on her ninth year now.
Yeah. So I asked them, they said, how did you guys do that? And they said, we just projected a filter in her blood and took the lupus out. And then they said, but if I didn't do the cheer up committee, they couldn't have done it. You see, she had to be in a state of joy, happiness to get the energy. And it's very, very important. And some of you that want healings, somehow or another, as difficult as your life is, you have to find a way to lift above it. You know, we're doing these team shift calls, and we make little groups of three to five people, that meet every day, or as many days as they can come online. They call in the light, and in some of those calls, for people that want healings, I think we should tell jokes, you know, one joke at the beginning of the call, and get into the idea of feeling uplifted and that people care. See, that's one of the things. It's easy to fall into a space when you're sick, and even when you're not sick, that no one cares, and you're all alone. And it's not easy to figure out how to get a group to overcome that. And that's why I started Team Shift. And it's where people empower themselves. I don't participate in all these calls. They do it themselves. And every day they manage to lift their spirits. And I believe that is a really, really good way to be open, start an opening for a healing. And if you're interested in Team Shift, go to teamshift.messageaday.net. And Edna is coordinating it and putting the groups together and assigning people to groups. And you can try it. It's free. And I would suggest at least try it for a month. Don't just come in one day, because when you're depressed, you need to be patient with yourself to get out of it. And I know we have a couple people with lupus on the line, so I hope this gives some keys to all of this. And let's see. Joanne, is there anything else you want to share before we move on?
Joanne can't get on. Joanne's busy doing something right now. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I really thank her for coming on. She's very shy. But it's also coming, you know, in one of the channelings, they said if she participates on our calls more, she can have more healing because she taps into the energy. And so she's been very shy, and I'm so glad that she took my request and came on tonight. You know, one of the things that makes us depressed is not feeling valued. And if you can make yourself feel valued to someone else, it starts healing process in yourself to really be important to someone else. And if you're in that place where there's no one to feel valued, there's no one in your life that seems to value you, then go to a convalescent home and just go around talking to people. You know, you'll feel a lot of resistance before you do it. But those people who are in convalescent homes or old age homes are lonely, and they really need contact. And by doing that, you'll create feeling valued in a very simple way. Now, that may not be the only way to do it, but think of a way that you can do something where other people really value you. And it can be something small and simple, but profound. So, is anyone else on the line that wants to share anything that happened for them in a healing way that occurred because they were on this line, and something they attributed to being on the line? If you want to share, press star 6.
Yes, ma'am, this is Chais.
Yeah.
But I had before when my son, he had warts for a couple of years, actually for, I think, a year and a half. And on the Sunday call, somebody requested for his warts to be healed.
I can't hear him.
Speak up, Hayes. Get closer.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. One time at the Sunday call, somebody requested a healing for his warts on his hands. And my son had also warts for a year and a half. And I tagged on to it. And the very next day, my wife calls me at work, hey, your son, Eddie, his warts are disappearing. Overnight, the healing started. It was just amazing, and they have gone all the way, and he's completely healed from his warts.
Now, your son didn't know that you made that request, right?
Actually, I did, because in between, I asked him, because the one person had asked, and where there were other requests being done, I saw him. I said, hey, I'm going to ask for your warts, okay? He said, okay, yes. So he was aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've gotten emails from people, a couple people, whose breast cancer went away, that went to the doctor after one of our calls, and the breast cancer was gone. Thank you, Hayes. Anyone else want to share anything? You have to do star 6 to unmute yourself. Okay. Well, I think what we'll do now, we'll bring in our sources and we'll ask them about this. We'll ask them more questions about what actually occurs when something like this happens. How does it work? How does it work through the dimensions? You know, from our realm, it looks like total magic. And they've said many times that in their realm, there's no time and space, and many things are possible. But obviously, there has to be a energetic connection here. Now, I think in my sister's case, we've always been close. When we were growing up, we always had fun together. And that even though she wasn't on the line, it felt like I was like a repeater station, that the energies came in through me to her, and her high self gave permission for this to occur. And plus, through the cheer up committee, she got happy enough to allow the energies to come in. And so that's a very key element here. When you want a healing, you need to be open enough in yourself to receive the energies. So Terry, are you ready? I don't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to call in the light. And this is our little invocation to bring in the energies. This is what people do on the team shift calls. And I'll tell you, the key element in calling in of the light is to not just mouth the words, but to believe them, to vision it as you're saying it, and have a high intention. And many of you have learned how to do this and then feel the energies as they come in. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy that radiates from the center of the universe through all the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the planets, through the sun, and through the outer energy fields of the earth, coming down through our bodies. And if you're feeling this, it starts out at the top of your head. The energy comes in on your crown chakra. And some of you can feel the light energy when I say that. And through your bodies, and then into the earth. And right now, we invoke a blending of all of our energies. It means that we are becoming a group energy, just as our sources are group energies. And this place where we become a group energy is not in this dimension. It's in another dimension. So we can't see it, but some of you can feel the energy shift. And one way of looking at it is thinking of the energy coming from the top of your head, going way up high, and converging. We all converge. And in that space we create in another dimension, we become visible to our sources. And they can move into that space with us and join us, however many of them they would assign to our projects. So we invite them to join us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Why do we create a protected space? Because we have opened ourselves up to other dimensions, and in other dimensions, they're not just positive. There's a lot of negative. And so we don't want that negative here. So it's very important when you want to have this experience of moving into higher dimensions that you invoke protection so that only the positive has access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And at that point, if you're visualizing it, think of yourself like a pit bull guarding the energy field so that you keep it pure. And I open it up to have Terry address us, and we'll talk about this.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'on, which is a combination of the energies of the Council of On, which is the translator group in the higher for the Elohim, and the higher groups of Elohim, which are we are translating for, and the realm of Ra, and we are here to answer your questions. We are mindful of what you have brought up on the call and have asked about miracles. To us, miracles are part of our toolbox. In your realm, they are considered miracles. In our realm, they are considered scientific procedures which go operate according to the laws of how the universe is put together. And when one knows the ins and outs of those operational tools, they can be applied. One of the tools is to establish the correct electrical potential of the operating systems within the body. This can be done through using the pool of laughter, which helps release charge. Laughter takes into account the various aspects that are thought of as improper or uncomfortable and brings forth situations which allows individuals to laugh and release pent-up stuck points within the individual. Therefore, laughter is a very important tool towards releasing built-up stucknesses within the individual matrix and within the body. It helps ease an individual's life and interactions in life and helps reestablish correct and proper charge. As the body circuits run on a certain charge that is optimum for a part of the body, and when the charge loses its potential, then it allows for foreign organisms to come in and to take opportunistic advantage of the body systems. Another tool we have is vibration frequency. As when an area is not optimum in charge, it is operating at a wrong frequency, and other opportunistic vehicles of life can come in and take over. And putting the frequency of the opportunistic take advantage of organism into the spotlight and focus of that frequency and running that frequency through it can disrupt its life at force and can take it out of the situation of effect in the body. We also have great love in our realm. And so surrounding a person with great love light can help to reestablish that person's sense of worthiness and sense of being a valuable integral part of the all that is, and as such can help to reestablish charge, because when one does not feel one is worthy, it is an impetus towards losing the optimum charge to make the overall running of the body optimum in balance. And it then opens the door for opportunistic organisms to take advantage of the body, because when one does not feel one is worthy, then they begin to release control, and as they release control, they lose charge and operational ability of the body in opening it up for opportunistic organisms to then take advantage of the situation and of the body systems. We hope this answer helps.
Yes. If you were going to tell my sister something, since she's listening, what could you tell her to help her have further healing and further health?
Keep up the jokes and interactions as much as possible with others. The interest that you have in the computer and getting give and take can help, and keep a cheerful countenance with jokes, and this can help get nourishment of a proper balance for your body, which is to say, keep your body alkaline, as when your body is alkaline, it can help the flow of electrons within your body, and as there is enough electrons, an optimum number, an even greater number of electrons, which occurs in an alkaline body, these electrons can then, when there is a surplus, be available for healing in certain areas. Having an alkaline body keeps the system open for healing and reestablishment of proper electrical charges within the body. If there is questions on how to keep the body alkaline, you could call the Dr. Marshall office at, we've given the number before, 310-320-1132, and ask for the number of ingredients and the proper protocol for keeping the body at the optimum alkalinity, and how to measure your alkalinity to make sure that you have established this alkalinity. This will allow for the best opportunity of your body to heal.
I should mention that there's something called litmus paper that, if you just look it up on the web, it's a little paper that changes colors, and it shows the alkalinity or acidity of your body depending on the colors. So you can find out if your body is acidic, and you can probably do a search on the internet for alkaline diet or alkaline substances, and you'll find probably many, many pages where people talk about that. And when you worked on my sister and you put this filter into her blood, how does that work? Did you move through all the sacred geometries? Did you become very small part of you and work in her bloodstream because the opening was there?
Give us a moment. We have an angelic crew that works specifically in specific situations. Give us a moment. It was an electronic grid that moved over the body, and in the moving of the blood and the lymphs, precluded that frequency of a pathogen, and was then able to create the die-off of the pathogen and to thus purify the blood.
Thank you. You know, we have people on the line tonight. Many of them are having maladies. Is it possible, if we take some silence, to have you work with all those people that are reaching for help?
We can work with those people. We are mindful of the ones that are on the call, and the ones that have mentioned that they have lupus and that are in your group. We see that there are some... This is difficult for us to say as we enter into the realm of medicine in this case, and we do not wish to interfere with any chosen treatment that a person is getting. Some treatments that a person gets makes a standoff between the lupus and the medicine and holds the lupus in check, but also sets up, give us a moment. There are centers within the body that are, in the case of lupus, are open to the reestablishment and growth of the lupus. Biological centers within the body where these pathogens propagate, and it uses the body system for the propagation, and the medicines then hold the pathogen level at a certain level. But then the pathogens tend to fortify themselves from the attack, and then sometimes the medicine needs to be made stronger, or there needs to be made more different medicines also to work with it. And in these instances, it takes a higher electrical potential to create the die-off. And when the body is not in the proper acid alkaline range, this makes it harder. The medicines make it harder in some cases. But we are mindful of your questions and desires, and the people that do have lupus, their intentions, and we suggest that you go back over some of the things we have said about establishing proper electrical potential. There is a doctor, a medical doctor in Texas called Jerry Tennant that has achieved the curing of lupus. And one can look up his telephone number on the internet, Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, Tennant, T-E-N-N-A-N-T, and check out his protocol. And there are other factors such as teeth that have been infected. The dentistry tends to propagate infection and acidity within the body, and placing metal in the teeth for filling the teeth, and this is an electron. The metal is a bleed-off electron robber, which tends to rob electrons from the body and then creates an opportunity for pathogens and infections to invade, and it makes it very hard since the teeth are on the various meridians in the body to open up those meridians towards healing if there is infections in the teeth. So if an individual has metal in the teeth and one of we could go into detail more, however, we do not wish to do so at this time. And suggest that there are supportive protocols within the earth frame that can help to take a person through medical procedures that can take a person through to more optimum health. And we love you, and we send our love and light and greetings to Joanna and Larry.
Thank you. Well, let's take a moment and bring those energies in. I said I was going to do this, and we can imagine these sources projecting love light from where they are into our space. Invisible fingers of energy that can move through our bodies, coming in from the top of our heads. Maybe not in all cases, but they seem to say that's the way they come in. And so we just ask that all of you that would like something to shift This is an experiment. We've never done this like this before with them live. With those energies, you have to be open to receive. You have to ask. Let those energies pervade your system. And that your unique need might be met.